Appreciated what was shared already this morning. And I believe this will all go together. I believe God's word all goes together, doesn't it? Every part of it. So, well, I've chosen to take a look here this morning at our personal devotional life. And I'd just like to consider that. I don't know how you all find that to be in your lives, but a personal devotional life with the Lord. And so I guess, you know, if you're young here, you've never been born again, maybe, you know, I mean, why would we have a personal devotional life? I would just like to take us to Genesis there. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 1, and I think for those that were here last Sunday, maybe they read some of the, heard some of these verses last Sunday, but there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And, you know, I think we all here this morning believe the Bible creation story, that this is how it was. We were all created. God created us. And so, it's only our rightful place, is it not, to give our lives back to our Creator. And, that is the whole motivation. If you're young and they don't have a hard time understanding, you know, we were all created, by God. And we are God's creation, and we are made in the image, in his own image and his own likeness we were made. And that is why we should have a devotional time with the Lord, a personal devotional life. We'll jump over there, if you're in Genesis, to chapter 3 and verse 8. We'll start reading in chapter 3, verse 8. And it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Then the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So from the very beginning here we see God wanted a relationship with his creation. He wanted a relationship. He was here. God says, it says, the voice of the Lord God. Adam heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And the Lord came and he wanted to have a relationship with his creation there. It's in, because we were made in his image and his likeness. And I think we all know the story here, how that sin came into the world and that separated us from a holy God. And today, you know, today God has made a way through the Lord Jesus that we can be made right with him again, and this fellowship can be restored. And that's what I just want to lift up here today is this, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, but there is a way that we can again come into fellowship with God. And he desires that. Fellowship can be restored. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath once offered for sins the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Christ has made that avenue for us that we can come and we can enter into that holy place. Through our devotional life, personal devotional life, we can enter in to the presence of the Lord. So why have a personal devotional life? You know, we devote our life to something. We all do give ourselves to something, don't we? Like was mentioned, I think Caleb mentioned, you know, the sports fans, they follow their sports heroes, you know, those are their gods. They follow them. They know what they're doing. They know where they're at. They know where the next game's going to be. That's what they eat, they sleep, they get up, that's what they think, you know, and there can be, there can be many things, you know. I think for us today, you know, we can, the cares of life can just rob us of that personal devotional time. If we will be followers of him, this is essential. Our devotional life is essential. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 2. Let's see now. Doesn't look right to me. I'm sorry, did I say? I'm in 1 Peter. I don't know what I said. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we need to, as we see here in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. There should be, as we are born again and as we endeavor to walk with the Lord, there ought to be a desire for the word, that we may grow thereby. Verse 3 says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious in your life? Can you look back where you know the Lord has been gracious to you? I believe we can think of things where God has been gracious to us. Verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, that's what we want to be. That's what we want to want coming out of our lives. And the only way we'll have that coming out is if we have this going into our lives too, the Word. If we will take time to spend in God's Word. In conversations, verse 12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is why we have a personal devotional life with the Lord, is to be, to have our desires in the right place, to have our conversation, that it would be such, that there would be no reproach. We need to be connected to the vine. Go to John chapter 15. St. John chapter 15. Starting to read in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Being connected to the vine, we need to be connected. He says, abide in me and I in you. And as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. We cannot bring forth fruit in our lives unless we are connected to the vine. So we might ask the question, how does this personal devotional life look? And I have a few points here, and I'm sure there could be more. And I don't know that I have them in order of importance, but I do believe prayer is a very important part of our devotional life. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 there in verse 35. This is talking of Jesus. It says, In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Just thinking of examples in the Word of, thinking here of Jesus, he is our example. He took time. He was busy. There was many pressures on him. It says rising a great while before day, it says he got up early and he went out and he found a quiet place and to pray. In Luke 9:18, Luke 9:18, this is right after Jesus had done that miracle of feeding the 5,000. And it says, and it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say people that I am? Again, there we see him. He had been around this multitude and just had this, fed the 5,000. And it says, he was alone praying. Jump down to, 28 of the same chapter there in Luke 9 says, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was past, Jesus was alone, found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. So here again, we see Jesus there spending time. He was with a few of his disciples there. But we see the connection that Jesus had here when he went in prayer to seeking the Father. And in Matthew 26 there, getting close to Jesus' crucifixion, he again went and prayed. Matthew 26:36 says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And I had to think here, you know, Jesus, this terrible agony he was going through because he knew what was ahead, but he surrendered. Here he said, you know, not thy will. I'm sorry. He said, thy will be done in verse 42 there in prayer to his Father. And I thought of the message that Dale had preached here a couple Sundays ago. How does God use adversities in my life? And if you weren't here and didn't hear that, I would recommend you listen to that, what Dale had shared with us. But, you know, if we don't have this connection with the Lord, and we will find it hard to say, like Jesus said, thy will be done when these adversities come and in our lives. And it may not be, you know, it could be just little things. It could be the irritations. It could be the irritations in our homes, you know. I mean, it may be one sibling towards another sibling just always rub each other the wrong way. It could be, it's just irritations can come in life. I mean, why did the vehicle not have to, you know, didn't start? It's here Sunday morning. We want to get to church on time, and all of a sudden, you know, it worked perfect. And then it's not working, you know. And we can let those things be irritations, but we should allow God to use those. How does God use adversities in my life? That was his title there. We need to have that connection through prayer. And looking at our personal devotional life, prayer, I believe, is a very important time that we quiet our hearts. We push out the cares of this life, and we seek to connect with the Lord. Daniel, as we heard, I think, in the children's lesson, prayed 3 times a day. Philippians 4:6 says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So spending time in prayer. And then the next point here would be reading the Word in our personal devotional life, is spending time reading the Word. The verse there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul tells Timothy, verse 13 of chapter 4, Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And maybe I'll take in verse 12. It says, Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So give attendance to reading here. Paul said to Timothy. So part of our devotional life should be reading God's Word. Reading God's Word. Give attendance to reading, he says. Let no man despise thy youth. You know, when you're young, you tend to have more time. You may not think so, but just wait till you get a little older and you'll understand that you have more time. You can block out an hour and spend time seeking the Lord. And I very much encourage you young ones, youth, to do that, to seek the Lord in your spare time. We'll fill our lives with something. At least we'll fill it with something. But what's important to us? What is really important to us? So we don't just read to learn facts or just to make a good argument. That's not why we read God's Word and endeavor to learn what God has for us in our daily Bible reading. We should have the heart and mind of Samuel. It says, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. That is how we come to the Lord and come to his word. We come and we say, speak, for thy servant heareth. Says Matthew 4:4 says, for every word that comes from God. See, that's just part of it. Let me turn to that. This says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This was Jesus speaking to Satan there when he was tempted in the wilderness. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So every word that comes from God, and how do we know what comes from God except that we read his word and understand his word? Again, thinking of our devotional time, our quiet time, we need to have time to meditate, to consider what we have read, what the Lord is trying to show to us. It says in Genesis there about Isaac, says Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and speaks of he went out to spend time alone, and says he was out to meditate in the field. David talks about this in Psalms, says, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. As we read God's word and spend time in prayer, we should delight in his law. And it says, delight in the law of the Lord and meditate day and night. The Lord told Joshua in 1:8, this book of the law which shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This was God speaking to Joshua after Moses had passed away. Meditate therein day and night, to observe to do according to all that is written therein. That is why we read God's Word. When we meditate on what we have read, we should ask ourselves a couple questions here. And I have three here. There's probably more that could be said or thought of. Is there some sin in my life that I ought to confess? And as we spend our personal time with the Lord, ask the Lord, is there some sin in my life that I ought to confess? Is there a commandment here for me to obey? Is there some commandment here for me to obey? Is there a promise for me to claim? And if we would ask ourselves those questions as we read God's Word and what we've read that today, and as we're meditating and considering, asking the Lord, what is He trying to show us for my life? Now we know the devil, he's not interested in letting us have a personal devotional time with the Lord. He came there in the garden and he messed things up, and he's still in the business of messing things up today. And so he's real good at allowing things to come, and maybe we put more importance on some things than we ought to and not enough on others. But I believe this of spending our personal time with the Lord is the most important part of our day. It's the most important part of our day. So there are some, I'll just give a few things here, and there could be a whole big long list of things that hindrances to our devotional time. And I'm just going to give a few here. Being tired and worn out. And we've seen there that the disciples, you know, they fell asleep pretty quick. And and you know, being tired and worn out, it is very difficult to spend meaningful time with the Lord when you're tired and just fall asleep. So endeavor to find a time when you're not wore out and not just exhausted. Maybe for some it works better than others. For me, I'm more of a morning person, and so I can better stay awake in the morning. I'm not an evening person, but now some others might be. And so whenever that works for you, we all know what works best. I just would, that would be one thing. Find a time when you can give your best time to the Lord. Give your best part of the day to the Lord. You know, if we have, if there are things in our lives, if we have moral issues or bitterness or unforgiveness or at odds with our fellow men, these are things that will hinder. They will hinder our relationship with the Lord in our daily quiet time, our devotional life. Psalms 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so if there are things in our lives, and we all know, none of us can see deep down there like the Lord knows. But if there are things there in our lives, this verse is very clear. It says, the Lord will not hear me. So If there are things there, go make them right. You know, leave your gift at the altar, you know, and go be reconciled. Get those things straightened out, because there'll be no relationship this other way. The Lord will not hear me if I regard iniquity in my heart. Spiritual desire. We need to have a spiritual desire. And another verse there in Psalms 143:10 says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." You know, we need to ask the Lord to give us spiritual desires and to seek after. It doesn't just happen, doesn't just fall into your lap. But if we seek the Lord in our quiet time and ask Him, He says to, if we will ask, you know, He is more than willing to give. Just like a father would want to give a good gift to his son or daughter, his children, we'd all like to give good things. Our Heavenly Father, even so much the more, would like to give us spiritual gifts if we will ask and truly seek and find and endeavor to find that. There could be many more. I'm just going to leave it at that. One more verse here in Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." This is our God. This is who we want to have a personal devotional life with. But we have to be still. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." I guess that's all I have this morning. Hopefully that can be a motivation for all of us to press in to have that personal devotional life on a regular daily basis with the Lord. Lord bless you.